everyone, and thanks for listening and watching the Italian American Entertainment Podcast. And I'm your host, Vince Shirelli. And today we have the very talented actor, Michael Cavalieri. And Michael is an actor, writer, and director whose film, Ritornato, recently received a prestigious grant from the National Italian American Foundation and the Italian Sons and Daughters of America. Michael's film tells the emotional story of a man who loses all his loved ones and sets off on a journey to revisit his past and fulfill a promise made to his dying mother. So welcome, Michael. How are you?
Ciao, Vincenzo. Happy St. Joseph's Day. And ciao, Chicago. And thank you so much. It's an honor and privilege for me to be here. Ciao a tutti.
Yeah, well, thank you for coming on. Thanks for reaching out. And this is going to be a fun time talking to you. So you're one of... I'm a musician, so, you know, most of my focus goes into the music world, but it's, I think you're one of the first, you know, actors that I've had on this show. So this will be,
Let me give you a quick funny thing. I remember, do you know the Young Rascals, Felix Cavalieri?
Yeah, yeah.
So just a quick note, I remember when I was auditioning for The Sopranos, on my callback, David Chase said to me, he goes, Cavalieri, are you related to Felix Cavalieri? I said, yes. As I was turning around and walking out the door, I said, Mr. Chase, no, I was only kidding. But he gave me the job, so it was great. But anyway,
That's good. So how I start this show with everybody, since, of course, it's about Italian-Americans, to start, where are you from now, but where in Italy do you trace your ancestry?
Ah, great, great question. My family ancestry is from Limina, Sicily, in the province of Messina. Okay. My grandfather, Agatino Alabrandi, or Gaetano, they keep changing their names when they come, came in 1920 to Ellis Island from Limina, Sicily, in the province of Messina. I'm very, very proud Sicilian-American. And I grew up in New York City, in Whitestone, New York, in the Bronx. So that's it. That was the start of it all for me. So
very cool. Yeah.
Here we are.
Well, another Sicilian. That's great. I'm from Aragona, so we're from Agrigento area. So.
Aragona, province. So, where's that province? I think
Agrigento.
Okay, great.
Yeah,
right
in the middle, basically. Yeah.
See, so I have a cousin his father's from Aragona, but I'm actually writing a screenplay right now about Agrigento.
Oh, it's beautiful.
Fascinating.
There.
I've been to the temples
Greek.
And that whole area.
It's amazing.
It's
very
beautiful. Shaka. Yeah.
It's beautiful there. I can't wait to go back. I wanted to go this year or last year, but then, you know, what happened and we didn't go. But maybe in the next couple of years, I'm going to take my wife and my son over there. But to get started, how did you get started in acting and what was your main motivation to get into it?
I didn't want to work 9 to 5 was my main motivation to get into it, Vince, to be honest with you. I was working on Wall Street. I was a pretty good collegiate athlete, high school athlete, played college football, thought I was going to go pro. Things happened, broke my ankle, tore a hamstring, and life changed drastically for me because all I did really early on in my career was to play ball, play sports. So I started after college, I started working on Wall Street, like night from like 4 to 12. That was my first job.
Wow.
And I remember taking a train down, you know, in the summertime in the hot, you know, sweaty subways of New York City and going down. And I remember one day I was sitting on a train and this gentleman was sitting next to me and he's staring at me like, you know, and I feel his presence on me. You know what I mean? Like, why is this guy staring at me? Anyway, he says to me, you know, you got a good look. You look like Ken Wall, the guy from Wise Guy. I said, oh, all right. So I thought in my head, this guy's crazy. And I go, who is this guy? Anyway, before he left, he hands me the card and he says, listen, give me a call. So I waited for him to get off and I looked at the card. I said, this guy's pretty, he looks pretty good. He's a big agent, J. Michael Bloom. I guess that looks pretty official, right? So a few weeks later, you know, I'm getting really disillusioned working these nights and working, you know, on Wall Street, I'm saying to myself, I don't want to do this. This is not what I want to do with my life. You know, I always was creative and wrote a lot, but I really didn't act. I wasn't in theater in high school, but I was, you know, into sports and stuff like that. So I said to myself, let me call this guy. So I called him and he told me to come into his office. And I went back to the city one day and he's sitting behind his desk and he pushes these papers to me and he goes, read this. I'm like, what? He goes, read this. I said, how? He goes, just read it. Just read it. So I read the scene. And he goes, you're a natural. I'm like, all right. He goes, let me send you out on some meetings. Let me send you out on some auditions. And I'm like, all right, you know, let's try. So a few weeks later, he called. I went down to the city and I auditioned for a small part in soap opera, and I got it. And that's how it all started for me. And then he came to Los Angeles, and I went with, because there was nothing going on for me in New York. And that's how it started for me.
Wow.
So he's recently passed away, unfortunately, but that was the beginning of the crazy journey that we're in.
So coming from Italian family, and we know how strict sometimes they can be, did you have a supportive family when you said, hey, I'm going to become an actor? Did they support you with that?
You know, it's funny. My mom and God rest her soul, and my father, my sister, they all passed away, you know, in the last, it's been a rough ride. But my mom was really special. My mom always supported in everything I did. Like, she had no idea when I got my college, like the college scholarship. She didn't even know what that was. She goes, no, we have to pay. I said, Mom, no, we don't have to pay. She goes, no, we have to pay. I said, no, we don't. My father's yelled across the table, we don't have to pay. We don't have to pay. So no matter what I tried to do, you know, she was always there. And she said, honey, I believe in you. I trust you. Go with what you feel. Because I worked hard. I worked hard in high school. I worked hard in grammar school. I worked hard as an athlete. So they knew that I had that instinct about myself. So, I also think she knew that she saw something in me that she noticed that there really wasn't, I wasn't interested in anything there anymore. I kind of outgrew that area of where I grew up, and I wanted more. She saw me always searching for more. So, she said, no, you have my blessing. And my father would look at me sometimes like I was crazy, you know, give me the look, get a job, you know, whatever. But in the end, unfortunately, I got my first movie in Los Angeles in 1990, and she was supposed to come. But she got diagnosed with cancer and couldn't come to the set, which was really, really a very, very tough thing for me. And ultimately, I finished that movie. And right after I finished it, Book of Love, actually, for New Line Cinema, she got sick. And I went back to New York for a couple of years, and she passed away. So, but she got to see a little bit of it, you know, a taste of it. Not actually That's on the good. Screen, but the fact that I would send her picture, yeah, some pictures and stuff. So, yeah, they were very supportive. And every once in a while, she would say to me, she goes, you're my son. But sometimes I wonder where you come from. She goes, because I always had these thoughts of something more.
Right.
I wanted something more in my life. I just was reaching for something, even as an athlete, Vince, you know, wanted more, would train by myself, had this desire that not to quit. And I think she sensed that part of me and everything that I tried to do. So she was sure that no matter what I was going to try to take on, that I was going 100 miles an hour.
That's cool.
So, and I was responsible. So yeah. So her memory is really, really etched in my soul, and a wonderful, wonderful woman. And, you know, I was very blessed.
Cool. So yeah, that's a cool story that you got into it a little later. My story is reversed. Most people don't know I was in the acting world for when I was very young, and,
wow,
it burned me out. Yeah. I got burned out young. I mean, I was in, I remember going to school, you know, 8 till noon. Then my mom would pick me up, drive into the city, Chicago, or about an hour and a half, go to, you know, talent searches and auditions. And
wow.
I'd be back home at 6:30 at night and then have to do homework. It was burned out, but it was fun. I was in some cool commercials and plays and, you know,
You got a great face. You got a great face, a happy face.
Yeah, exactly. The thing that's my claim to fame outside of music was I was in a Reason candy. You know the Reason, the candy.
Sure,
Reason?
Sure.
That was my. Yeah. I was in the Reason candies back in Germany before they really got huge in the 90s here in the States, and I was the kid singing
that's
on the Reason
awesome.
candy commercial. So I still remember
that's
that.
Awesome.
That was pretty fun. That was fun. But
yeah.
Did you have a big Italian American actress influence for you?
Well, I'll say Sicilian American for me because I'm Sicilian. It's important for me to recognize that. That's something that I am very, very, very deeply involved with. So for me, you know, obviously, you know, growing up in Queens and the Bronx, Al Pacino was somebody that I really looked to that I thought was really, really tremendous. And still today, you know, Al's a guy that You know, he doesn't get involved in really anything else, but really focuses on his work. You know, he'll still do theater. He'll still do, you know, he does these small theater productions, you know, Looking for Richard or whatever things that he's done, like, you know, Salome. And I follow that. I said, what a wonderful, wonderful example of somebody who should be an artist, who really, really took it seriously. And yeah, he's done a lot of movies now these days. But so that was, I would say, Al. And of course, you know, you had Francis Ford Coppola, who I thought was tremendous and a wonderful actor. And you know, actually, I have a funny story about that, because my first audition when I came to Los Angeles was for Godfather Part Three.
Oh, wow.
And I was a nervous wreck. I'm like, why are they, I have one credit, like, basically, why are they calling me in? And, you know, they were looking for somebody, a young, what, at that time. I remember going into the casting director's office, and I totally, like, flubbed everything, and I was so nervous. Because, you know, that's a legendary, iconic thing, you know, and you're like, wow.
Yeah.
So, you know, they didn't have a script, and they were reading from this play, Danny in the Deep Blue Sea, which I was trying to work through in this acting class that I was working in. And I remember saying to the coach, I said, listen, I said, can you help me with the scene? He goes, just do what you're doing in class. I said, I don't know what I'm doing in class. He goes, just, it's children's rules, playing an adult level with children's whatever. And I'm like, looking at him like he's crazy, right? So I go into the meeting, and I totally, like I said, I flub it. And they call me back, Vince. I'm like, why are they calling me back? They call me back again, and they call me back two more times. And, you know, they work with me on the script and everything. And I remember I went in to meet Francis, and I was sitting across from one of the producers, and Mr. Coppola was there. And I just totally, again, I froze up, and I was like, wow. So, you know, I started to venture back to the old black and white films, you know, with Vittorio De Sica and things like that after World War II, and the neorealistic filmmakers. And I really got into those kind of films, and I watched them today. Like, that really, really informs my brain about watching movies. And I took a really deep interest in that. And there's some amazing, amazing movies that a lot of people don't know about, in the Sicilian American or Italian American history that we really need to know about. So I've been studying those, and
that's cool.
I would say that's really, really rounded out my palate in the last 15 years, and try to, you know, we have so much to offer in our culture. I think sometimes we forget that. I think we get into the stereotypical movies, and I just really don't want to do that anymore. I'm guilty. I've done one or two, but most of my films, honestly, have been about family, overcoming obstacles or whatever. And it doesn't matter, Vince, if it's Italian American or German or French or Spanish or whatever, it's a family. So for me, I was always drawn to movies like that, because I'm not interested in this stereotypical world.
No, I got you. Yeah, it happened to me too when I was acting at a young age. I mean, when I would go to plays, just because I'm Sicilian, I always kept getting cast as the bad guy, the gangster. I remember, like, The Music Man. Like, I'm a musician.
One of my favorite musicals, by the way.
Yeah.
One of my favorite musicals.
Yeah.
I love it. Robert Preston.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, I'm a singer. I still am. I have a band. And, you know, I definitely should have been the Music Man. And they told me, you should be the Music Man, but you should be the lead. Right. But we're gonna cast you as the gangster part. Rooster, is that what his name is? Rooster? I don't even remember. It's
sure,
just like,
sure.
That started getting me kind of upset with it too, because it kept happening over and over again. It's just like, oh, that's not cool. Just because I'm Sicilian doesn't mean I got to play a gangster all the time.
Well, that's part of the reason why I left the business. You know, obviously after losing my mom and my dad and my sister, that also was something that really, really took me back and took a toll on me. But I looked around and I said, you know, I said, there were so many times that I was offered things and I said, you know, I don't want to do it. And they were like, why don't you want to go in for this? Why don't you want to do it? They're giving you an opportunity. I said, I don't want to do it. It's embarrassing to me.
Yeah.
It's embarrassing to our culture. It's embarrassing because now you perpetuate this kind of stereotype. And what I see every day is the same thing. And I'm like, guys, we are more. You need to go back and learn about this stuff. You have no idea who you are and what you are.
Right. Yeah.
Every time I say, so where are you from? I'm from such and such. Have you been there? No. Do you know anything about it? No. So here we are in 2020, 21, and we are now the culture that's kind of immersed into this American world that has forgotten all the people that struggled and all the people that came from another place to give us a chance at a better life. And I will never forget that. Right. I will never forget my ancestors. I will never forget the people who struggled to persevere, to pave the way for you and me. And this is what I'm trying to do with my career now, is that's something that I'm really, really focusing on. And as an actor in Hollywood, it's very difficult because that's all they want to do.
Right.
And they want to be stereotypical, and they want you to go in, and they want you to be, and now you can't even be stereotypical. They hire somebody else to play that part.
I know.
So it's like, it's a joke. It's like, why do you want to even be part of this? So I decided to not be part of it and to do things on my own. And
that's good. So tell us
I bring up Stanley Tucci because, as a matter of fact, somebody said something yesterday on an article, and I said, you know what? Stanley's a wonderful actor because Stanley is a guy who transcended the stereotypical actor. Yeah. You know, he does so many wonderful parts, and I want to take my hat off to him because, you know, we're actually going to be on Sunday, which I'm very proud about, Sicily on his show.
Oh, really?
Okay. And it's on CNN. He's such a wonderful example of how a Sicilian American or Italian American actor should be. He could do anything. And the fact that people put restraints on you and me and say we could only be this is tragic. Yeah. And it's unfair because all the other cultures are yelling and screaming, why can't I play this part? Why can't I do this part? Why can't I be the president? What about us? Where are the people that came before us, the guys that are successful? They forgot. They forgot where they started from. And I have a bone to pick with that. And I'm like, guys, we are trying to do the same thing you tried to do 40, 50 years ago, but you had a different situation. Your parents or your grandparents were new to this country, so you got more opportunity. That's why you have better shots at the jobs you got. What about us? Reach back, take somebody with you.
Right.
So that's the thing that I'm trying to focus on, and that leads me into, I'm sure, the next question that you have.
Yeah, so a little bit, tell everybody about, Ritornato.
So Ritornato was a Ritornato. I tried to do this 15 years ago. I was going to do it as a one-man show. Either I wasn't brave enough or I wasn't ready enough or I was afraid. One of those three things. Life got in the way. You know, like I said, I had loss and this and that. But cut and paste, you know. After my sister died, she died relatively young, maybe around 50. I decided that my fiance and I would go to Sicily because I just felt the longing to get close to my grandfather and to get close to the feelings that I had when I was a young boy, because he brought so many warm memories into my life. And I just felt lost. I was struggling to find out who I was. I was struggling, you know, like you said, I was turned off by the business and I wanted more. I just wanted more. You know, so I made this journey back to Sicily. I said, I'm going to go back and try to walk in his footsteps and see where he lived or a street where maybe he lived or whatever I can find out. And that was the sole job of this journey. And I never forget, we were staying in Terramina, this beautiful resort town
beautiful
on top
there.
Of this beautiful hill. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Gorgeous place. And, I had a driver take me around because I wasn't sure about the terrain yet. And we would drive. So I'll have a driver for the first time that I'm there. And he was wonderful. And I said, Vincenzo, I want you to take me to Limina. He's like, Michele, nobody goes to Limina. I says, I go to Limina. He goes, why? He goes, because my grandfather Agatino comes from Limina. I want to go. He goes, okay, we go. So there we go. The next morning we went on this journey and we drove from this beautiful Terramina down this hill all the way up. really windy dirt road up to this town, and we land in, and I see the sign of Limina, and I started to cry. I was like, and I got out of the car and I ran up to the cement pile and jumped up and put my hands, and that picture, Vince, is the actual first picture I ever took, which is the poster of my movie, of me touching the sign for the first time. And I remember just touching the sign and saying, Grandpa, we made it. Mom, we made it. And I was just, I felt this rush of feelings coming through my veins. It was like unbelievable. And I never felt this way before. And I felt like I instantly found like a peaceful place and a place that I belonged. So, long story short, we made our way in and we stopped at the municipal building, and so the story begins. And so after that long day of meeting certain people, and I don't want to give it away because that's kind of where we are with the movie, but you know, I was standing in a cemetery looking at the lineage of my life, and I looked over and I said, wow, this is a movie. So, you know, I came back to America and I started to write. I'd never written before. You know, I don't know how to write. I could write my name. I could write a check maybe once, but I don't know how to write. So I started to write, and I wrote and I wrote and I wrote, and I put all these experiences together, and I handed it off to a friend of mine who's a very, very, who is a writer. And he said, you know, I said, would you read this? He goes, absolutely. So he took a few days and he came back. And he's like, hey, listen, he goes, this is not bad. He goes, you know, it needs some work. And he structured, he goes, but it's honest and da da da. So we start to cultivate this piece. And I went back again to Salimina again. And I kept going back. And the third time I went back, I met this gentleman at the Wi-Fi store who I had met the first trip or the second trip. And I had to get Wi-Fi for my car. So when we're driving, right, we don't get lost. So I had asked him the first time, do you know a cinematographer? And then I kind of lost, I got caught up. So the second time I went back, I believe, I asked him again. He goes, yes, his name is Fabrizio, da da da. So I call him, we meet, he comes to Limina with me, and we take a tour of the town. And I'm writing now, saying to myself, I'm writing more stuff, and I'm thinking to myself, how am I going to shoot an expensive movie? I said, so maybe I can make it a smaller movie, and I just take this experience. So I started writing it as I'm walking with him. And at the end of the day, I said, listen, we're going to shoot this in we're going to come back and shoot this in September. And I would talk to Fabrizio every day for like 6 months. And long story short, you know, a couple of people said to me, you know, maybe you should submit this for grants. Maybe you should do this. So because I had no money, how was I going to do this? I was going to pay for whatever I could out of my pocket in September for that part of the movie. I said, so I submitted it, and we won. And I was like, wow, I never won anything in my life. So, but now they wanted, Vince, they wanted me to shoot it to be finished in September as opposed to me starting in September. It's like, oh my God. So if you know anything about this, as you know, Sicilians don't like to move too quick.
Yeah, no.
and to try to get them to understand what I want, because I don't speak fluently. So it was a struggle on the phone and trying to get things together. But we finally got it together. And I arrived, and my cousin, who I had met that first time, he's in the movie, and he told me, I'm studying, cousin, I'm studying him. I got everything down. So I meet him the first night, and he has no idea what to do. So I said, oh my, I'm in trouble. So we all got together 3 or 4 times, and we kind of went over it. And, you know, I'll never forget, we were shooting the first day. It was 115 degrees. Jeez. And I said, and yeah, I think you might know about a little bit of political stuff that goes on in these little towns.
Oh yeah.
So in Limina, there's only maybe 800 people left from like 4,000 or 5,000 that was original. So it's very tiny. So there's a political divide. And my cousin and his crew wasn't getting along with the mayor during that time. So they say, we can't shoot. And we're set up to shoot on this mountain. He goes, we can't shoot. You have to meet the mayor. I'm like, I said, Turi, you have to meet the mayor. He goes, I don't care about mayor. I said, Turi, you must meet the mayor. He goes, okay. So about an hour later, the mayor drives up. He gets out of the car, comes over to me, looks at me. And I say, grazie, da, da, da. And I shake his hand. He looks around. He goes, ah, go ahead. He leaves, and we start to shoot. And that's how it all started. And, you know, we shot everything in 4.5 days.
Wow.
And for less than $8,000.
Wow.
Because, Vince, by the time that I got the grant, which was $8,000.
Right.
By the time I got my flights there for my wife and I,
yeah,
and,
exactly,
you know, a place to stay, a rented car, food, we were down to 7,000. So basically the rest of that money came out of my pocket, of course, which I was fine. But the people in Limina, the people in Santa Teresa, Tarifa, which is the town below, all non-actors, people that were from the town, were spectacular. And wow. And I'm so grateful and honored that they accepted me as part of their family, opened their arms to me. And the funny thing is, like, you know, I felt like I was indebted to them for this experience, you know, like for them to let me do this experience and let me shoot this film. But yet they were so indebted to me in some way that an American would come back and care enough for this small town to do something about them. And I just was like, wow, you know, I'm just blessed to have these feelings, blessed to have this experience, and feel so, so honored to represent them. I'm now the town ambassador for Limina. I'm doing a lot of work for them and a lot for the Sicilian culture. So when you go back and you see how proud they are, someone who returns, it's quite incredible. And to give them a ray of hope and a sense of hope that at least someone didn't forget what it's about. So I have a great story. Cool. I remember I showed the film at the Columbus Citizens Foundation in New York City, which is the people behind the Columbus Day Parade. And I was asked to do a special screening, and I went down, and a lot of the people were descendants from Limina or descendants from that area or Sicilian or Italian. And wow, what a response. It just was, every reason why you did this movie. That's every reason.
Yeah.
You know, and every reason movies exist, because people are together having this experience that they can recollect and have memories. They were pointing to the screen, the older women, I remember, recall, be recall. And you're like, you know, people crying, laughing, and yelling at me, why didn't you talk about this? You know, like, why didn't you talk? No, there's so many stories, but you can only take your personal story. To do that and to have that experience and to now see, like, even today, like, people touch base with me, and you know, I'm about to, you know, put this on video on demand, and I've been asked by so many people about the story. Yeah, it's
That was my next question. So how, when, and how can people start watching this? So,
okay, so I think it's gonna be in May. I'm hoping for May 8th, which is my mother's birthday. Nice. Yeah, so it'll be on ritornatothemovie.com. Okay. Just come to that site. It's under construction right now. It's almost done. Ritornatothemovie.com. Also, you can visit me at Instagram at ritornato_the_movie_. You can write me there. I'll write you back. Or Facebook, Michael Cavalier on Facebook. You'll see a lot of the stuff, and I'll post, you know, when it's coming on. And I just want to let people know, you know, this is an important thing for me, if you let me, Vincent. I really appreciate it. Is that this isn't about money. This isn't about being a movie star. This isn't like a Hollywood, you know, production of this. This is something from the heart and soul, a piece of a personal journey, a moment in time that I recalled and that were very important to me. But I believe you and other people like you and me have had experiences or lost someone or went back to a place that brought back fond memories. So, you know, I was told, you know, a lot of wonderful things about my story, but that do this, cut this, take this out. And I said, you know, no, it's not about that. It's not about that. This is just an homage to my grandfather, to my mom, and to the town of Limina. And I want it to be like that. And listen, it's not a perfect movie, but good or bad, it doesn't matter. It's the act of doing something for your culture is what I believe represents the heart and soul of this film. And it's important for all of us, I think, to do these things. I think it's important for us to give whatever we can to try to do something to represent ourselves in a positive way. So that was really the reason I took this journey, and I'm so glad I did.
No, that's cool. Yeah. It's basically, you know, the same reason I'm doing this. I mean, I started this last year, you know, mid-pandemic, and I just, you know, because music, I'm a Italian musician, I play at festivals, they all got canceled, and so how do we keep sharing the Italian culture with everyone? And so sometimes it's not about money. With this, it's really from the heart, and like you with the story going, you know, I spent a month or two out there when I went the first time, and
Aragona.
Yeah, I stayed most of the time in Palermo because a lot of my cousins are in Palermo. But I remember, you know, I went to Rome, Naples, all over the Taormina, you know, Mount Etna, everywhere. I was everywhere. But of all the memories I remember was my grandfather was an Italian musician and had music and, you know, records and stuff. And I remember my family was eating. We were up on the mountain somewhere in Sicily, near Aragona, and we were at the cousin's house. And I just had my iPod Touch back then, and I put the iPod Touch in, and my grandfather's song "Under the Mediterranean Moon" came on, and I just remember being by myself and just crying and just thinking like that's really the you know, you have so many memories of course the Colosseum and all this stuff, but that's to me. The thing that really sticks, and that's the feeling that's the reason I keep doing this stuff, and the reason I play Italian music and keep this stuff going. So,
you're incredible because I think we have the same sensibility and the same. Because I had not with the music, but I have that same experience and the memories. They go deep, they rip deep into your veins, and they stay there. Yeah. And you know, and I'm happy because I never want to lose that. And I want to meet guys like you who are doing amazing things. And I'm so honored that you would have me on here to talk about this because we have a similar feeling. Oh, yeah. And it's funny when you do your art and use music, you meet people that have the same sensibilities. And now, you know, with the movie and Sicilian, so now we're meeting each other and it's wonderful because we now collectively have the power to push this forward. And
that's right.
You open doors. You're opening doors for me. And I hope I open some doors for you. And then we keep this feeling alive. It's important because this young generation today is
I know. Well, that kind of
lagging behind.
That's kind of where usually how I start ending this with. It's the same question I ask all my guests. And what is your hope? Because we're talking about entertainment and Italian Americans. But what's your hope for the future of Italian American entertainment? And do you have a good feeling that there's others like us that are going to continue our, you know, Italian American culture in the entertainment world?
My feeling is a very, very powerful feeling is that I believe that you and I and a select few others who are really, really to the core have those roots and those memories will continue to pursue and push our agenda forward in a really wonderful, positive way. And I think if we infect people with our spirit, with our energy, and I believe I've done that with a lot of people. And my film, the reason why I did my film is because I wanted to say that. I wanted to say, hey, guys, we need to go back to our roots to tell the stories of our generations that are positive portrayal or even negative portrayal, but it's a story. Right. It doesn't have to be stereotypical mafia. There's so many wonderful things about us. And I always say this to all the kids that I interview with, go back. It's like I give them homework. Go back and tell me about your roots. Go back and tell me where you're from. And it's funny, they write back to me. It's wonderful. And we start to have that dialogue. And if somebody young like you or myself who has that, you know, because, you know, obviously, you know, I'm in the Karate Kid franchise and that. So a lot of kids contact me and want to talk to me. So I use that as a way to have a conversation about what we are doing in Ritornato and asking them, so what are you doing? Like, I could give you a really, really interesting point. I had a young boy call me from India. And he wrote to me, goes, I don't think you want to interview with me. I'm Muslim. I'm like, what? And I said, you can call me anytime. You're my friend. And we called and we had this great, he started to cry and we had this great conversation. I said, listen, it doesn't matter if you're Muslim, Greek, Sicilian. We're friends. We're friends from the heart.
Right.
And I said, did you ever go back to where you're from? He goes, no. I said, you need to go back to where you're from. And I have these conversations with people, not just being Sicilian, just being whatever, but generally, because the more that we remember our past, it informs our future. And I say this constantly. Remember where you come from. Never forget your roots. Remember the people that came before you so that we could be having this conversation. Yeah. And I get incensed when I see actors or friends of mine playing these stereotypical parts. It's like, this is what takes you down another notch and then another notch. And now we are on the lowest rung of everything. And, you know, so you and I and other artists that love our culture will fight. And I believe with our passion, I believe with our want, we will bring it back. I really believe that. I think we'll break through. I'm hopeful. Yeah. Because I'm a person that never stops. I'll never stop.
That's good.
I'll continue to fight for my culture. And you know, it's funny, when I was first an actor, they would say, you know, maybe you change your last name, maybe you do this or, you know, whatever. And I was like, so now cut and paste, I wish that I had never even remotely listened to any of that negativity and just focused on my culture and started to write younger. Because if I wrote younger, I would have had so many more stories to tell. So young artists out there, Italian artists, Sicilian artists, write, tell your story, be creative, reach to your family, ask a story. Even if you don't understand how to write, write something. Right. Be inspired. We need you. We need your help. This next generation, we need your help to move forward. So that's my conversation. That's what I talk about a lot with all my films. And I won't stop. And I believe good things will happen from it. I really do.
Well, that's great. And I appreciate what you're doing fully, because I'm in the same realm as you. I totally understand and got the same mindset. So before we end this, you know, you already gave some links. I'll definitely tag all those links in this so people can find your Instagram, Facebook, and all that. But anything else upcoming for you that you want anybody else to know? Any other films, you know, TV stuff coming up?
Well, obviously, you know, they've been asking me a lot of questions about this Cobra Kai if I'm returning. So I'm getting a lot of calls from all over the world. So I don't know, but I'm grateful to be considered, you know, everywhere they've been calling me, from Italy, Mexico, Spain. So we'll see if that happens. But more importantly, I have like three or four projects, like I said, about Sicily that I've written that I want to shoot. One in Agrigento. I've met some really wonderful people in Sciacca. And we're talking about doing something. And also another one in Limna, a second part of Ritornato Do It, looking cool. For Vincent. have that. And also another, and a small historical project that I'm writing that I want to shoot. So those three or four projects are ready to go. It's just, as you know, Vince, with the pandemic, it's been crazy.
Oh, yeah.
So that's it. That is it. We're ready to roll. We continue to write. And hopefully
great.
Things will get moving soon, you know? Yeah,
that's great. Well, once again, I really appreciate you coming on. You know, like I just said, we share the same feelings about this with, you know, being Sicilian, especially.
Yeah.
We got that connection. We definitely are. You know,
absolutely.
We got to be careful sometimes, like with this Italian American entertainment. But I definitely am Sicilian American. I got the blood test. I got the DNA test. I'm 100%. I mean, there's the Middle Eastern stuff that goes in there because we're everything. But it's 100%.
Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
It's 100% Sicilian. Yeah. So
well, listen, regardless of being Sicilian, it's, you know, listen, we're all Italian American, but Sicilian American is what we identify with. But Italian American, you know what? Either way, we're proud to be who we are and lift up the culture. And it's an honor for me to be, you know, and to be culturally that ethnicity. I really love it, and it's got so much wonderful stuff. And you know, let's hope that we keep driving and we keep moving forward. And check me out on ritornatothemovie.com.
Will do.
Right?
Oh, yeah. Yep.
And on Instagram, ritornato_the_movie_, and also on Facebook. And I'll answer the fans, anybody wants to talk about my movie or needs information or about Karate Kid or whatever they want to talk about, we can talk about it. It'd be my pleasure. So
perfect. Well, thank you again.
That's it, Vincent.
I'll put all your links on there. And once again, thank you for coming on. Everybody check out Michael's movies. And thank you again. And thank you, everybody, for listening and watching the Italian American Entertainment Podcast. We'll catch you next time. Bye-bye.